All right, so who remembers what we covered in the last Torah portion before we start today?
The system is Rome, and the priesthood would be to not punish anybody that would be innocent.
So, yeah, so you're the Roman government, and you were talking, so we touched on, somehow we got onto the topic of the Roman government and Judaism as the best religions ever, because they both protect the innocent people, but yet Yeshua was crucified on them, and they were both in power, correct? Good job. You were going to say something, too? One of you guys said something, you were about to say something. No? All right, anybody else?
All the different things that should happen in the land with animals and people and righteousness and what happens if this happens, there's consequences.
Right. So
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, so the name of the Torah portion was Mishpatim, which was judgment, which doesn't mean to condemn somebody, right? Judge means to deliver. Like in the book of Judges, when Gideon came, he delivered them. When Othniel came, he delivered them. It means to deliver you from a horrible situation. That word in Hebrew, mishpatim. So yeah, it means to deliver. And basically, everything that we covered, as Ms. Viola said, is those situations were not that they were supposed to happen, but they were just if. Yeah, they're all hypotheticals. If this happens, this is how you handle it. If this happens, this is how you handle it. So,
but there was still stuff in there that would happen, and Moses would have to go to Yahweh and ask. It wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. There were still situations where something happened, and it was like, I don't know what to do. It didn't say what to do, so I have to
like
go
the daughters.
Inquire. Yeah, like the daughters.
Oh, so that hasn't happened yet, but yes, yeah. You're correct.
Wait, you're talking about a daughter, about if you sell your daughter and
no, but they're talking about the daughters of Zelophehad is what they're referencing.
Right. And I also mentioned that three times a year you're to have a feast for him. The unleavened bread, the first fruits, and then the one at the
Shavuot.
Yep. The three times a year your men are supposed to gather.
Correct. Well, we already found out in Exodus that the word men here doesn't just mean men necessarily, but that even Moses wanted the whole family there and all the animals there, right? So it's a family thing. But the command is for the men at least to show up for sure, but the women and them are invited. But if they're pregnant or something, God doesn't not going to command them to travel when they're about to, you know,
have. He was talking about Shabbat, keeping Shabbat. And he gives you 6 days to do what you need to do, and to observe the Sabbath, not to have any other idols. And I think they already said if you injure someone and this happens, how your repayments, and if a woman's with a child and she goes into labor, just talk about all the consequences that go with that.
Viola?
Jeff just texted me and he said the United States of America and Israel killed Ayatollah and 40 of their top officials. And he says, well, what does the word say about striking in a country on Shabbat? Hey,
Jeff asked that?
We got to get him out of there.
Did Jeff ask that question?
Yeah, Jeff asked
that question.
If he's bad, the Lord says, take them out. I mean, the Lord's been grieving because of what they've done to the people and their own people as well. I mean, their blood's crying out.
Well, we don't necessarily. So we live in an age where it's very hard to decipher what is organic and what is not, because our CIA goes into other countries and stirs the population up against its leaders to then give us, to make us feel better that we take their leader out for those people. For instance, look at what's happening in our country right now. Okay? So when notice that this whole Antifa thing, Black Lives Matter thing, came out, when did that become popular? When did that become known? That was in Trump's first administration. All of a sudden, these random groups come out and they start having chaos all over the city, saying that he's not their president, having all this chaos, burning up buildings, and police ain't doing nothing. And then they disappeared for 4 years. And then all of a sudden they're back.
Because there's the same party that had had the party during that time.
So where did these people come from? How do they get the buses? How do they get the sign? How do they get the shirts,
the
like, in a day?
Is it Shabbat right now in Israel, though?
Israel has never been religious. Israel has never been religious.
Most corrupt place on earth.
Especially
the whole six-day war and their leaders, they're all atheists.
What about the State of the Union address?
What about it?
How they sat down. But I'm not falling for it. It's just a cause division. I think they're all in on it. It's like, okay, just sit down. Don't stand up, because that's going to make this side mad and this side mad. Like,
it's all politics. It's all politics.
It's all a joke.
Even the Republicans are about politics.
I know. That's what I'm like. The Republicans probably told them, just sit down.
You had two people that were not playing politics and were really doing...
I don't fall for it.
You had two people that were really doing real things, and even the Republicans don't like them. It's Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene were the only people that were actually doing what their communities wanted to do. And because they didn't play the Republican side, now Marjorie Taylor Greene had to get out because they started attacking her. Mm-hmm. Thomas Massey's still in there, somehow hanging on, even though his own president on his side is hitting him. And he's like, hey, I'm just trying to expose people who did human trafficking. I mean, I guess nobody's cool with me doing that. Not even the Republican side's cool with me
guilty.
Doing that.
I mean, you're not going into politics like a bunch of wolves.
So,
you were trying to overturn
yeah,
that.
So what I'm saying is, I wouldn't get excited about the Iran thing, what we're doing, because how many times have we done this in the Middle East and we've George Bush jokes about it today, says he's still looking for weapons of mass destruction. And he even had a whole comedy skit where he was looking under his desk, oh, they're not there, but I went and killed leaders for it. Right? They had that one when his dad first went into Baghdad or whatever, back in Senior's Day. Remember they had some little girl coming and saying that They had some little girl come on TV and saying that she saw all those Iranians or Iraqis ripping babies out of their incubators and killing them. And so we had to go in there and bomb them, and come to find out that little girl was an actor from Iran or something. So that's what I'm saying. We have to, I mean, if you look at our TV now, if there's commercials for our CIA does commercials saying, if you want to join the military, without ever having to shed someone's blood, come them and they'll help them do psychological manipulation on people's populations to turn them against their government. I mean,
there's been two situations where I knew somebody personally,
mm-hmm.
where something was happening, and they give me their report because they're right there, literally. And what we see on social media, not even the same.
Correct, yeah.
Not even the same.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying on social media, like, what are you saying? Like,
you can't believe anything.
Yeah, it's happening, but it's not like you're seeing on social media.
Right.
It's like a movie you're watching.
Yeah, so anyway, it's hard to say anymore if this is good or this is bad, because it's just hard. Because even Trump can be deceived. They can go and they could even... Like if you saw Kristi Noem, right? She's supposed to be our Secretary of Defense, or what is she supposed to be? Something... Department of Homeland Security lady? She came out on television and said that the last administration, when they gave her devices, Elon Musk's team had to come in and they found out that there was spyware all over her stuff. So our USA government, who's supposed to Be For The People put spyware on her phone and laptops to spy on her conversations from the previous administration.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, like, it's...
Nobody's safe anymore.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. Yeah. That's why everybody's like, look at China. Even in China, that leader, he's getting rid of all of his military guys because he's saying that they're against him. So his own military guys, he's already purged three of them last month. His top military leaders, Xi Jinping.
Doesn't Russia do that too? He just kills off people, relatives or whatever?
No, they don't.
Oh, I thought Russia did that same thing.
No, don't believe some of that. But they get rid of them. They put them in prison or something. But they're not killing them.
Oh.
Like, he didn't kill them. He just got them out of his military because supposedly they're spies. And if they have them, we have them. Right? So, anyway. You guys ready for two rumors?
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good.
Sorry, we'll get off on the news.
No, you're good. She had her phone announcement. All right. So, let's turn to chapter 25 of Exodus. Shmot, and the name of this Torah portion is?
Names.
Oh.
No.
Willing heart gift.
Teruma.
Willing heart gift.
Yeah. And why did I put that up there?
Willing heart gift.
Because if you're willing to give, this is what probably when they're starting to bring it in for the tabernacle and the courts and the holy of holies and all this.
Right. Good job.
And all that.
Good job. So let's read it then. Viola's got it, so let's read it. Here we go. So Yahweh spoke to Moses. Oh, remember, Moses was on the mountain for how long?
40 days.
He's on the mountain for 40 days, right? And, yeah. So
40 days, 40 nights.
Correct, yes. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they will bring me teruma. You will take my teruma from every man who gives it willingly with his heart. So most of your English versions will have the word offering. Correct? No?
Yep.
What do you got?
It has a raised up portion.
A raised up portion. So yours says give me a raised up portion. What does yours say, Julie?
Offering.
Offering? Anybody have anything different than offering or raised up portion?
Mine says gifts.
Oh, gifts. Nice, I like
that. Is that the name of one of your goats?
No.
Was it close?
It was a cow.
It was a cow.
Because
somebody gave us a cow. Yeah, and his name was Teruma.
What does yours say?
I'm just saying Teruma.
What does your translation say? She's asking,
what
is your translation?
This one, well, it says it, but it has a note next to it saying it doesn't really mean that. It says, most translations say offering, but this is more of a free will heart gift.
Right.
Teruma.
Yeah. Teruma, it's right there. Teruma. It's on the board. Teruma.
The top.
Yes, ma'am. So, yeah, so the word teruma, it's more of something that you want to get, right?
Nobody's
forcing you to do this. Yes.
Forced
you
to give it.
You're
willingly wanted to give it.
Yeah. So when you bring, it doesn't say in your English, it sounds like when you bring an offering, but in reality, the Hebrew is saying when you bring something that you want to bring from your own heart, that's what he's saying. Okay. So God's not demanding them bring stuff to Him. Okay, that's how most people will preach it in the Sunday church or something like that. And nowhere here does he demand anyone bring him anything. Okay? So he says, you will take my teruma from every man who gives it willingly with his heart. And this is the teruma which you will take from them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, tachash skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for incense spices, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and they will make a mikdash for me, and I shall dwell in their midst. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its instruments, even so will you make it. Any comments on that first paragraph? What are we doing? What is he talking about here?
Gathering material for all this that they're going to build.
What's the first thing he just mentioned here?
All the different minerals and cloth that was going to be brought in.
So, brought in for what now? So Yahweh's talking to Moses, right, to tell the children of Israel that when they bring a teruma, something that they want to bring from their heart, what's the very first thing that he asked them to bring, if they're going to bring it?
Gold. Silver, copper.
Okay. That's the first thing, right? Well, what are we bringing this for?
The most expensive.
Tabernacle.
What's the tabernacle?
God's presence. Dwells.
God's presence.
Dwells.
Oh, that's funny. Why is his presence going to be down here?
Because I didn't go up there.
Look at you go. It's that chair.
It told you it's a chair.
Hey, John.
Yeah, because just the last chapter, where didn't the people go?
They
didn't go up on the mountain. So guess what God's doing? He's coming down.
Wants to be with them so bad.
Correct. That's his heart. That he wants to be with us. So he didn't want to go up on the mountain, so he's coming down. So we're going to build a place for him to come down. And that's what this is. And if you notice in here, one of the first things that he wants to, one of the first things that he mentions is gold. Where was the first time you ever heard gold in your Bible?
The garden.
It was in the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
Right?
They're just laying all over.
Yeah. So this was in the Garden of Eden, right? And where else do you find blue, purple, scarlet?
In the heavens. Or in the throne.
In the garden, too.
In the garden, right? Or up in the sky. Right? So, he's recreating where he lives here on Earth. He's making a replica of where he lives, and he's trying to bring it down here so that replica could be with us.
But so was the garden a replica. Right?
And the garden was a replica of up there already, right. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. So, and that word tabernacle, if you guys ever read, anyone ever read the Gospel of John before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you read John chapter 1, where it said that in the beginning was the
Word,
and the Word
was with God,
and the Word was
God,
made flesh, and
dwelt among
all
us.
Were
that word dwelt among you is the same word for tabernacled. I don't know why your English version says he dwelt among you. But it's the same word here in Exodus as it is in John chapter 1. So what the word is here, it's the same word in John chapter 1. Basically saying that Yeshua was like this tabernacle that we're making was a pre-Yeshua coming down. So basically saying Yeshua is the tabernacle. But yeah, so that's what John 1 is claiming. That everything that you see in the tabernacle is Yeshua. Okay? So, with that in mind, let's keep reading. Ready? So they will make an ark of acacia. 2 cubits and a half will be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, 1.5 cubits its height, and you will overlay it with pure gold. You will overlay it within and without, and will make upon it a crown of gold all around. And you will cast four rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 feet. Two rings will be in the one side of it, two rings in the other side of it, and you will make poles of acacia and overlay them with gold. And you will put the poles into the rings by the sides of the ark, so the ark can be borne with them. The poles will be in the rings of the ark. It will not be taken from it. And you will put the testimony, which I shall give you, into the ark. And you will make a cover of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half will be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you will make 2 cherubim of gold. You will make them of beaten work on the 2 ends of the cover. And you will make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end of the cover. And you will make the cherubim on the 2 ends of it. And the cherubim will stretch forth their wings on high, covering the ark cover with their wings, and their faces one to another. The faces of the cherubim will be toward the cover. And you will put the cover above on the ark, and in the ark you will put the testimony that I shall give you. And there I will meet with you, I will speak with you from above the cover. From between the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I shall give you in a commandment for the children of Israel. Okay? So, what was that paragraph about?
The ark. How to design it.
The ark. What's the ark?
It's going to have the words and Aaron's rod, manna.
It's the box.
Yeah, it's the box of the covenant, right?
Box of the covenant. Is it the same box as Moses was in and Noah?
No, not necessarily. Okay. So, do you guys know any biblical records about anything about this Ark of the Covenant? What do you guys know about it?
They can't find it.
Who can't find it?
No one. Except I know that one person did. He's found it, but the Lord didn't want to reveal it.
Are you sure?
What? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I'm gullible, right? You're trying to say, yeah, she's gullible.
Because
I know what you guys are thinking.
The Jews claim that they have it underground, underneath the temple.
Yeah, that's right where Yeshua died. The blood went down and unto the bottom, to the ground, and it was dripping on the mercy seat.
And
they found it.
The Catholics say that it's in the Vatican, in their holding place.
Nah.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be right down the land. It's not good. The Catholics,
and
I don't think.
Others say it's got destroyed.
I believe that it got destroyed.
Where and did this
stand? There's a man, his name is Mr. Cardwell. He has all the information and he's revealed. Plus they took blood samples and revealed that it did not have the mother, it had the mother's chromosome, but it didn't have a father because it was from the Holy Spirit. So he said, what's going on here? There's not a father's chromosome. Well, that's Yeshua, the blood.
And then John says that it's up in heaven. John in Revelation. No, it's a John in Revelation who writes it. He says he saw it up in heaven.
Could it have been the replica? Because everything's replica from the
I don't know.
Because that's what they really try to do, right? We're replicating.
Up there, but
yeah.
I wouldn't know. But we have 2 things. Number one, so far we have the teruma, the offering, the free will gift. Number 2, we now have this Ark of the Covenant. And I think this is important because we're going to focus a lot as human beings. We like to focus on the shiny stuff, like the gold and the colors and all that. But the first thing that God calls out here is the willing gift, the heartfelt gift, right? So keep that in mind as we read through this to see, right? I believe he puts this in order of importance in my mind. So, let's see. Well, what is cherubim, by the way? So you have the Ark of the Covenant, and he's going to have cherubim over them.
My Bible says glory beams.
Yours says glory beams?
Glory beams.
For cherubim? It's interesting.
Glory beams. Kind of like angels, right? Because they have wings, and they're spreading towards the center and yep. looking down towards the base of the table.
It's funny because most Bibles don't ever interpret that word. Did you know most of your Bibles say cherubim? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mine does.
Like no translator ever dared try to translate what that even meant. So it's funny that yours tries to. That's not what it means.
It's not what it means.
Hmm?
It's not what it means.
No, it's not what it means. They're just telling you what they are. That doesn't, it's not trying to tell you what their name means. Because no translator in history has ever tried to break down what their name meant. Because it's not a word that we typically use. Cherubim
is a heavenly word.
It's a name, a title for these things, but no one's tried to translate that to another language because they don't know how to do that. Right?
But has Ezekiel and John described them?
Well, Ezekiel and John did their best
to describe
him to what you and I know.
Right.
So when they say it looks like an ox, doesn't mean it's an ox. That's the best thing he can say, it looked like. Right. When he says this one had like 8 wings and eyes all within the wings, and there is like fire all around it, and the head of it looked like an eagle, doesn't mean that it has an eagle's head. It just meant the best thing he can describe it to or liken it to was an eagle. Or the one that looked like a lion doesn't mean it was a lion. It just looked like one, but that's the best he can do with what we currently know here on earth. So there's creatures up before the throne, and these cherubim, right? And I think it was Ezekiel that called them seraphim.
So how come, if they don't know either, why did they put like angel-looking beings on there if they have no idea?
Oh, because Moses saw what they look like.
Oh, he saw what they look like.
Yeah, so Moses saw what they look like, and he's going to show them exactly how to make them. So one thing you won't ever do is you won't ever see cherubim or seraphim, which is the same thing, but a different description the way Ezekiel called them. He called them the fiery ones because he saw fire all around them. One thing you won't do is you won't see those ever here on earth.
This is not their realm.
It's not their realm. They are the ones that hang around the throne.
The holy holies, yeah.
Yeah. The only time, if you ever see a creature with wings and that throughout your Bible, it's when you are about to approach God's throne. Right? Like Isaiah, when he says, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, the train of his robe filled the temple, and all around him, right, he had the creatures. So, you're only going to see them around the throne. You won't ever see them here on earth. You will see messengers, which are different than the creatures.
Yeah, they look like us.
They look like people. They look like men, yes.
You don't know if you're entertaining angels.
Correct. The writer of Hebrews says you don't know if you're entertaining these messengers. Right? That's what Jacob saw going up and down.
What are shapeshifters then? What are shapeshifters then?
That's from like a different religion that they kind of... Yeah.
Are those human people?
That's a different religion. It's not like a biblical theme, so I'm not going to...
Oh,
yeah.
So ignore that one.
So ignore that, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Mine has a note on cherubim. It just says it's derived from a group that suggests hybrid.
Yeah.
Or
like a centaur.
Composite.
So a centaur, like a composite, means you take like a species of a man, but he's also got features of an animal. Yeah.
They compare him to Egyptian.
Like Narnia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they have legs like a man, a body like a man, but they have wings like a bird, but eyes within the wings, but then their faces are like some type of a creature.
Different,
yeah. That's why when they do try to translate them, like in the New Testament from the Greek, they're called the living creatures. Right? Just like Daniel, if you ever read the book of Daniel, he says, oh, this one looks like a leopard. And then this king looks like a whatever else. But then he gets to another animal, and he just doesn't even try to. He's like, I don't know. It's just a super beast. Like, I don't know what that is. I can't tell you it looks like anything that we've ever seen on Earth. So, anyway.
And these were, when you got men in the Bible seeing these things, is it, it's a vision, right? Or a dream, or what is it? A vision? A dream is when you're asleep. But I don't think they're asleep. They're visions, right? I was awake, but you don't know.
All I know,
and they didn't die.
So
it's not like they the best lost word, their breath and died. And
I think vision would be pretty good.
The best word I have for you is the way Paul described it in Corinthians, where he says, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I have no idea. But somehow he got caught to Shul. And I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know how that works. But he got caught to the third heaven. So even Paul's like, it happened, but I can't tell you how that happened. Right? Yeah, I'm not a...
Does it happen today, or that was just...
No, it... Yeah, sure it happens today.
So you got people here on Earth right now that have been caught up to the third heaven.
They could have, but what Paul says is he doesn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, because people think you're crazy.
People think you're crazy. Go ahead. Even if you had a real...
No, I'm sorry, but that happened to me, I'd come tell y'all. I promise I would.
That you would or wouldn't?
I would.
And would think you're crazy?
I don't care.
No, but this is what... That's exactly what Paul's saying.
And Paul, I've had things happen to me, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't think I better share that one.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, that's too much. They'll probably think I'm really gone.
But that's what Paul's saying. Like, so you got caught up, and there's things that I saw, and it's just not... I can't tell you. Like, I just... What benefit is if I tell you? Like, I just don't talk about them.
Like, it's something just maybe for them.
It's probably just for them. Yeah.
Not something to go.
Yeah.
Because what is it going to do? Does it benefit anybody else?
Yeah. Most of the time, if you go and tell something, like, I saw this vision or something, and I go tell Susie something this about your life, and you'll be like, this guy's nuts. Moses, we ain't going back there again.
They'll commit
you. Don't listen to that girl.
Yeah.
So, but that's, for anything, I would take notes from Paul. He said he's been caught to the shul, the holding place, and he's been caught up to the third heaven. And you and I are like, well, tell us what you saw, Paul.
Yeah, I'd be begging, I'd be at his house like,
right? And here's the thing is, nowhere in your Bible do you have anything that Paul saw about the third heaven of shul. He doesn't ever tell you anything about it, other than he's been there.
Yeah.
And so now you're going to have Julie be like, I'm going to have to go and...
Visit John.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, this is Paul.
Oh, Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, apparently, he didn't think it was important enough for you and I to read what he saw there. Right? So, but that's funny how human nature, that's what we want to hear about.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And Paul is like, no, you worry about loving your neighbor, loving your wife a little bit more, and your husband a little bit more.
Yeah, but don't get caught up.
Yeah, but stuff. We want to get caught up in, like, what's over there,
it's
over
like
there.
A distraction or a side.
You got it, yeah. All right. All right, John Jr. Okay. So... Next one, here we go. Verse 23. You will also make a table of acacia. 2 cubits will be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, 1 cubit and a half its height. You will overlay it with pure gold and make a crown of gold all around it. You will make a border for it of a handbreadth all around. You will make a golden crown for its border all around. And you will make for it four rings of gold and put the rings in the four corners that are on its 4 feet. The rings will be over against the border for the places for the poles to bear the table. And you will make the poles of acacia and overlay them with gold so the table can be borne with them. And you will make its dishes, spoons, bowls, and purifying vessels to pour out their contents. You will make them of pure gold, and you will set showbread upon the table before me always. Okay, so what is he describing here?
Showbread.
The table.
What table? Oh, Viola's got pictures for you guys. Look at that. So what's going to go on this table?
The showbread.
Okay.
And the lamp. Does the lamp go on there too?
You tell me.
The menorah.
You guys, what is the showbread? Who knows what the showbread is?
Challah.
I thought it was flat.
Manna?
No, it's not manna.
Okay, no.
It's 12 loaves of bread, right?
Is it leaven or unleavened?
No, I've been slacking with the one challah.
Sonia says she wants 11
no,
more.
There's 12 braids in there.
We need to make 12 loaves.
Yeah. I'll just slice it, 12 slices.
Okay. One thing about the Ark of the Covenant is there's a time where there's a nation that actually steals it. You guys remember? A nation goes and they steal the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, yes.
And those men are carrying it. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens to them.
Right. Because I didn't know better.
Ooh, look at you.
I'm sitting in the hot seat today.
Yay, John.
But then when David becomes king, and
better.
David and his men go and get it, and when they're bringing it back, a man touches it, and why does he die?
They knew better.
Because, man, Julie, look at you.
They knew the order that should have been, but they didn't go that way.
Yeah, so God had mercy on people who didn't know any better, but he didn't have mercy on people who knew better. Right? So this goes into what we're about to read in our Bible, because we just saw them cry about water. Israel cried about water. And did God do anything to them? No. They cried about food. He gave them food. Did he do anything to them?
No.
No. But watch what's going to happen when we leave the mountain. Because now after they leave the mountain, guess what they should know? They should know better, right?
Yep.
So you can't, what this is telling us is you and I cannot continue in the same sin your entire life. There's a point where God's like, okay, it's time to grow up and get over that. You can't do the same thing over and over.
And you're going to get a spanking.
Right? Just like when you were a child. Yeah. Anybody ever have children before? Mm-hmm. Right? Or grandchildren or anything? Did you let your 2-year-old get away with things? Was it okay for your 2-year-old to do something that your 13-year-old couldn't do? Yeah, right? But when your 2-year-old turned 13, could they still do the things that they did when they were 2-year-old?
No.
No, right? So now Asaph has to go outside and play ball outside, or else you're going to break everything in my house. When you were 1 or 2, you know, handing them, that was okay. But now that you're 13, 14, like, no, you're going to put a hole through the wall. You're too strong. She stares at me. Why are you shaking your head?
Oh, my goodness.
Were you going to say something back there? No? Why are you rolling your eyes at me? Oh, Hava and Hadassah?
Ah, Hava.
So, anyway, there's a time where things were okay, but as you grow up, right, God says no. You have to move forward. You have to be more responsible now, right? So,
somebody carried the Ark of the Covenant.
I think it was the Philistines. Was it the Philistines that took it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Philistines took it, yeah. Nothing happened to them.
Yes, they did. Nimrod.
No, but nothing happened to the people that touched it. is what I'm saying.
But they did return it because of something going on.
No, David and them went and got it. When David and them were returning it, they touched it, but they died.
Oh, yeah.
And
on an ox, right? Uh-huh. And the ox pull it.
Yeah.
And it started falling off. So he
but the Hebrews, David and them,
they knew the protocol.
They knew what they how they should have done it. Right.
On poles.
Yeah. So you have these pagan guys carrying it, nothing happening to them, touching it, and nothing happens to them. But then when the Hebrews go to bring it back and they touch it and they die, exactly what Julie said is because they knew better. Right? All right. So let's go to verse 31. It says, "You will make a pure gold menorah, a beaten work. With the menorah will be made its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its knobs, its flowers, and they will all be the same. Six branches will come out of its sides, three branches of the menorah out of one side, three branches of it out of the other side, and three bowls made like almonds with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in another branch with a knob and a flower. So for the six branches that come out of the menorah, and in the menorah will be four bowls made like almonds, with their knobs under flowers, and there will be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, according to six branches that will proceed out of the menorah. Their knobs and their branches will be of the same. All will be one beaten work of pure gold, and you will make it seven lamps, and they will light its lamps, so they can give light over against it. And its tongs and snuff dishes will be of pure gold, and he will make it a talent of pure gold with all these vessels. And see that you make it after their pattern, which is shown to you on the mountain." So what are we talking about? Anybody?
The menorah.
Oh, she got a picture for you.
Yes, I love it.
You should just stand up front because Vanna.
So what is this menorah? What is that? What is a menorah?
The lamp.
The light.
It's a lamp? Mm-hmm. What kind of a lamp?
Oil lamp.
What does this lamp look like? What does it have? What do you describe to
blossoms.
Us?
Blossoms.
Six.
Flowers. Garden looking. Tree looking. Like a tree.
So it's like a tree, right?
Right.
And it looks like
branches,
what?
Branches and blossoms. Mm-hmm. Tree of life.
What kind of blossoms?
Almond.
Almond. So it's going to be almond, right? So you have, but what's the oil from the tree?
Olive.
Yeah. So you have olive oil. So this menorah is going to have fire out of it, right? And so this thing...
A bush on fire?
Oh, there you go. You have a tree that's on fire. That produces oil and almonds.
What does it make almond oil?
I mean, we make almond oil today, but no, back then it was olive oil. Yeah. But then it was fresh.
Almond is connected to Aaron's rod, maybe?
Oh, Aaron's rod is also going to bud almonds, right? Yeah.
What is all the connections there,
though? Oh, there's a lot of connections. If you ever read the prophets, go read the prophets. They're going to mention almonds. They're going to mention olives. All those things are not just about gardening. They go all the way back to the first time it's mentioned. Right? So, this menorah, right, it gives light, but it's on fire, and it's connected to olive oil and almond buds. So you have this tree that's on fire, that gives light, and is connected to fruit. It's connected to fruit. Of all the trees of the garden, you can eat. Just don't eat from that one tree. You should probably eat from this tree. Right?
And that one, that goes on the table too with the sugar?
This is going to be somewhere next to the...
Oh, next to it?
Yeah, it's going to be giving light to the bread.
Oh, it's the opposite.
It's in the holy place.
Yeah. So the bread...
The opposite light. Yeah.
So the bread is the 12 loaves of bread, which represent the 12 tribes, and this light is giving the light to the bread.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So... Anyway, it'll make a whole lot of cool parallels. The more we get in, we can turn back and look back at it. Any questions or comments on this? Y'all good?
Yep.
You guys are good in chapter 25? Okay. All right, here's our longest one right here. Moreover, you will make for the tabernacle 10 curtains of fine woven linen. Blue, purple, scarlet. You will make them with cherubim, with skillful work. The length of one curtain will be 28 cubits. The breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits, and each one of the curtains will have one measure. The 5 curtains will be coupled together to one another, and the 5 other curtains will be coupled to one another. And you will make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage of the coupling, and likewise you will make in the uttermost edge of another curtain the coupling of the second. You will make 50 loops in the one curtain. You'll make 50 loops in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, so the loops can take hold of one another. And you will make 50 hooks of gold and couple the curtains together with the hooks, and it will be one tabernacle. So if you're a good, if you like to sew or crochet, and this is your chapter right here. This is, yeah, Viola's just smiling on all of this. She's like, I get it. But if you're not a seamstress, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Get bored.
Yeah. But if you're a boy, you love reading the Book of Judges because it's all, right? It's one of the goriest books of the Bible. And if you're a girl, you like reading the Song of Songs, right? Because she's my doe and my flower and my apple. You don't like all that?
He's her... beloved, and
she's
his dove.
Stag.
Your breath is like apples. Right? So, anyway. Verse 7. Keep reading. You will make curtains of goat's hair for a covering of the tabernacle. You will make 11 curtains. The length of one curtain will be 30 cubits. The breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. The 11 curtains will be of one measure, and you will couple 5 curtains by themselves, 6 curtains by themselves, and you will double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. So you will make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain, outermost in the coupling, 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which joins the second, and you will make 50 hooks of bronze, and put the hooks into the loops and join the tent together. So it will be one. You got something? Okay. And the remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, will hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of that which remains in the length of the curtains of the tent. It will hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. Any questions so far? This is a long one. So you will make a covering of the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of takash skins above. And you will make boards for the tabernacle of acacia standing up. 10 cubits will be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half will be the width of one board. There will be 2 pegs in one board, set in order one against another. Thus will you make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you will make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side, south board, and you will make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards two sockets under one board for its pegs, and two sockets under another board for its two pegs. For the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there will be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board, and two sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, you will make 6 boards, and you will make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle in the two sides. They will be joined together beneath, and they will be joined together above, its head 1 ring. Thus it will be for them both. They will be for the 2 corners. And there will be 8 boards and their sockets of silver. 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And you will make bars of acacia, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards will reach from end to end, and you will overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. You will overlay the bars with gold, and you will raise the tabernacle according to the fashion of it that it was shown to you on the mountain. Yes, ma'am.
What do you figure the socket will be?
What do I figure the what will be?
Where do you figure the sockets will be?
What do you mean? So they're going to be hanging everywhere, from the top and the bottom, right? They're going to be under the boards connecting the curtains. The sockets are just to connect the curtains. Yes. I think Julie or Viola should have a picture of it in her Bible of the sockets or the curtains.
Your fire, Anna.
Do you have a picture of the curtains in yours?
This is all I have right now.
I think Miss Linda wants to get a visual.
We got dessert. She didn't bring you one.
She didn't bring me one?
She brought it over to us. It's soccer dinner out from you. There's no vegetables in it, that's why.
It's a rhubarb. I'm coming.
That's a vegetable.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what rhubarb is?
Yeah, it's like a celery, but it's tart.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's funny. All right. All right, so we got...
center bar. And this is square rings. Okay. They look like they're cutting to me.
And he saw this up on the mountain.
This is all up
when
on the...
he was up on the mountain.
Yeah, so Moses is not only hearing it, but he's seeing it at the same time. Because, you know, us guys, we got to see it.
Huh?
We have to see it. We can't. You can't just explain it to me. Like,
right, exactly.
Have you ever tried to explain something to your husband?
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How does it go when you try to explain something, what something looks like to your husband?
Like, I got a blank stare.
Did you know that it's not just you and him? You know it's not just...
Yes,
Susie, you ever try to explain what something looked like to Moses before? Does he always understand what you're saying?
No.
You have to like draw it out or show.
Julie says she gets a blank stare from Mike. Do you ever get a blank stare from Moses at you when you're trying to explain something? Yeah?
Or like I got horns on my head.
So it's not a you thing. It's a man woman thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I think they do. They just...
Yeah, they're acting dumb. So
yeah.
They have to do it or whatever.
So we look dumb or we feel like...
You think he's making you feel that way on purpose?
I can play that game too.
Sometimes.
It's not a game. We just don't understand. So that's why we just want to see it. Show me a picture. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying now. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, ma'am. You're smiling back there.
You didn't ask me. My husband.
Because I already know. I know the answer already. I know the answer.
I want to hear what
no.
You have to say.
No.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Like the moment she thinks she's losing me, she gets all frustrated and starts yelling at me.
Because he does this.
Because like
I don't even want to try talking to you now. So I think he does that on purpose just so I'm talking.
Yep. Like I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not as bad as it used to be, but yeah, it used to just like give me this. Like you almost got like rolling your head at me.
Yep. Or nothing is worse than when they roll their eyes.
Oh. Oh, my husband don't roll his eyes at me.
Oh, he doesn't. Oh, you taught him well.
No.
I'll make
crossing the line.
I'll make sure he listens at 55 and see what he said. His rebuttal.
Oh, I forget.
All right. I think I have one little paragraph left on this one. So it says, verse 31, you will make a veil purple, a veil of blue, purple, scarlet, fine woven linen of skillful work, and it will be made with cherubim. And you will hang it upon the four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold. Their hooks will be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And you will hang up the veil under the hooks so you can bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil will divide between the holy place and the most holy place. And you will put the cover on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And you will set the table outside the veil and the menorah opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you will put the table on the north side. And you will make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue, purple, and scarlet, of fine woven linen, wrought with needlework. And you will make for the hanging of five pillars of acacia, overlay them with gold. Their hooks will be of gold, and you will cast five sockets of bronze for them. Woo! That was a whole chapter dedicated to what?
Curtains.
Curtain. Good job, Sonia. Look at you.
He really does listen.
Yeah, so we got number 5 is curtains. Woo, you'd think a woman wrote this one.
Yeah, I was not.
Lickhove.
I was not engaged. I'm not a seamstress.
Oh, you're not a seamstress? Mm-hmm. You didn't like the curtain chapter? Mm-hmm. While you're over there seaming something together?
I'm not. It's not.
Is it called cross-stitch?
No.
Needlepoint, yeah.
So, look at chapter 25. We covered the terumah. The offering, we've covered the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, and the menorah. It was like a man wrote this one. Bam, 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 bam. And then the woman got a hold of the pen, and she's like, this is write a whole chapter on curtains. This is a good bedtime story right here for Julie.
Yeah.
So, what do we know about the curtains?
It divides.
What is a curtain? What does it divide?
The Holy of Holies to the...
Oh, that's the veil, right? So there's going to be a curtain, but they're going to call it the veil, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a veil, and what is this veil? Where is it located? Go ahead, Ms. Viola, tell us about
it's
the veil.
Right next to the ark, but right by the poles at the very edge.
So this separates the holy, right?
Yeah, the Holy of Holies.
So it separates the holy... of holies
from the holy place.
From where?
The holy place.
From the holy place. Two different places, right?
Yes.
So this veil is separates right in between. Okay? So I'm such a great artist. You guys love.
I told Viola to go up there and help you. She's our artist.
Sonia's doing pretty good over here in this corner.
And it was all
it's not acrylic.
One piece.
But the sockets connected it to have one piece, to be one tabernacle, yes. So you have all these mini curtains, and but the sockets put them all together, and it becomes one big old sheet because of the sockets and the hooks, right, in the boards. Okay. Yeah. But... this veil would be located right, oops, sorry, wrong spot, right in here. Okay? So when Yeshua dies on the tree, and it says that the veil was torn. Everybody ever heard that? The veil was torn. Okay?
From the top to the bottom.
From the top to the bottom. It's talking about the veil in between the holy and most holy places. Okay? So what that means is only the people inside of the holy place could see that. That doesn't mean the whole world got to see that. That doesn't mean the community got to see that, because you still have the tabernacle doors, you still have the door to go into the most holy place, and then you have the veil that separates. Does that make sense? So if that's torn, only the priests that are in there would be able to notice that. So they're the ones that reported how... They're the ones that reported that the veil was torn, because they were the ones inside there. But nobody else would have known the veil was torn if the priest inside wouldn't have said, hey, somebody inside said, that veil got torn when he died. Because that's not something that the community could see. Because that veil is in here. You still have one, two more doors to get through. So people who claim that the whole world saw the veil torn and can see, it's wrong. Okay? So that's the veil. A whole chapter on curtains. Yes, ma'am. So, okay. So you have the menorah and the table right there by these curtains. And these curtains are filled with what?
Cherubim.
So you have all these glory beings, right? You have all these composite beings woven. Can you imagine the work, the needlework it takes to draw all kinds of creatures you never saw into all these curtains? So the moment you walk into the tabernacle, all the curtains all around them is this cherubim.
Like a throne room.
Yeah. And then when you get to the veil, all these cherubim, but it's not just cherubim, it's cherubim in blue, purple, scarlet, and it's all done on linen. Anybody know what linen's made out of? Yes? What?
Plant.
What plant?
Flax.
Flax, yes. So, the whole tabernacle has gold, like the garden, and it's a flax. It's made out of flax.
But God put the spirit into them.
He's going to, yeah. He's gonna let us know that he put the spirit in them to do this, yeah. So you have all this flax, all these cherubim, all these colors, and the veil right there is made of all those colors. Right? So tonight, before it gets dark, go look up at the sky. And it's probably going to be like red and like orange and purple and blue all at the same time. And that's what the backdrop of that veil is. It's like the sky, and then you have the lights giving light unto the bread. And it's a picture of like... from the throne room, giving light unto us here on earth. Right? That's basically what he's telling you. That the moment you step past those colors, you're coming into his realm. Right? And everything below his realm, he's the one giving you light. He's the one giving light to the world. The light that you and I get from up there is from him, is what he's telling you. But when you go up... Yes, Julie, what are you saying? You got a big smile.
I can't get out of the space. they pass that and go in the dark. The space people.
Oh.
What does this match?
The vendor, what's it called?
What does this match?
Van Allen belt.
They didn't cross that yet.
No one has ever crossed that.
No, but I'm just saying what we see is it looks like they go beyond the purple and all that, and they're in space, which is black. But they're not there.
No. Not possible. That's not our dominion.
Is that what they're trying to get to?
They've always been trying, but they can't do it.
I know. They've been trying to since the Tower of Babel.
How come China's never said, hey, yeah, we went out there? How come Russia's never said they've been there? Why can't they go?
It's not possible.
That's crazy how that we can't go beyond there, but they can come.
Who can come?
The messengers.
Messengers can go back and forth, yeah, all they want.
Yeah, they can go up and down, back and forth.
Because they rule. We're just here until we get there, maybe. Maybe we can later, who knows.
They rule. No.
No, the Lord, but they're told, but they can come up and go.
Yes.
Because they got that power within them.
All right.
We're just humans.
So did you guys have any other comments on chapter 25? Did you guys notice that I just used Tekash this year?
The
who? Tekash, when I explained one of the leathers of the curtains. You guys know about that one, right?
I missed that. Did you hear him say Tekash?
Yes. Remember, some of your versions say badger skin. Some of your versions say whales or porpoise or whatever. You guys are good on that? You don't need me to rehash that? You pretty good on that?
We've hashed it out every year.
Okay.
Can you tell me what you said?
Tekash? Some your Bible, yours probably, I don't know, you have the same one as Julie's?
Yeah, what you're trying to say.
Spell what I'm going to write.
Could have been beaver. No, couldn't have been beaver.
Like reptile.
Like
No, they're not going to put a reptile on there, Julie. I thought you said you already got this down. I want to throw my marker at you.
The hosh is Tekash. I was going that way. Hosh.
No.
Something whole, clean. It has to be something clean.
Yeah, something clean. Mm-hmm. A giraffe.
That's what a lot of Hebrews or Jewish people think. That's what they think. So, all right, since Julie's good on that one, on the curtains, any other questions or comments on the curtains? It's a woman tie. This is a woman. Curtains is a woman thing, right?
I disagree. I feel like if it were a female, it would have been more about, like, design.
It is.
No, it's more of, like, measurements and boring.
But the
seamstress have to measure too.
The angels on it would be amazing. That's a color.
And the linen. I love linen.
That is amazing.
Linen.
That would take some
time. I didn't hear anything about bows or a bow in it.
That would be some craftsmanship.
Oh, you bet.
That would be so amazing.
Imagine just to
be able to. They don't even have a piece of that anywhere. Like, it all got tore up in 70 AD. I just wondered, like, how did any of that not be preserved yet?
Because Rome went crazy.
Burned. They burned everything.
They didn't have it in 70 AD. That's we're talking about in the wilderness. They erected the tabernacle.
Oh, you're talking about.
Like, where's that?
Well, I know. Let's keep reading our Bible. You have to keep reading our Bible and find out what happened.
They had it in Eastern.
Yeah, because. They never explained that. What did they do with the ark? Well, they all brought it in.
Once they built a
but everything
brick
else?
And mortar, what did they do with the setup one?
You tell me.
No, I don't know. You tell me.
What do you mean you don't know? You grew up in Sunday school your whole life and...
They didn't share that.
Vacation Bible school.
They said don't read that part of the book. They
those
said
are just
they're
stories,
right here in the New Testament.
What did they say?
That's what they said to us.
What did they say about what they did with the tabernacle?
I don't remember. We never talked about the Old Testament.
I don't remember. That was
a long
goodness.
Time ago. Why are you laughing?
What'd they tell you, Sarah?
I'm just... Oh, I don't know.
She's just listening to us.
I don't usually get to see this point of view, so I get to see everyone's facial expressions. Usually I get to see your facial expressions.
You don't get to see them arguing with me?
I hear it.
And no one's arguing, Nelly. I asked a question.
Yeah,
you
what happened?
You asked a question back to me. I don't know. What did they do with it?
So we'll find out. Like, are you talking about what biblically happened or what historically happened?
Both.
She's going to go that route.
I don't think they went there because we've gone through the Torah all these years and we've never heard what happened.
Well, no, she's asking when Solomon builds the actual physical stone temple.
Yeah, what happens to the one they had in the wilderness when they erected it up? Take it down. What happened to all that?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
So let's go read it. It'll, not now, but it should be in, what, 1 Kings 16, maybe?
I mean, did they use any of that stuff for the Solomon?
We'll have to find out. We'll have to find out, right? What? What are you whispering? She getting you in trouble over there?
No.
She's not getting you in trouble?
I was just listening.
You're just listening. All right, so let's go to chapter 26 before my class gets out of hand.
Wait, what? 27.
Yeah,
we already finished 26.
Oh, sorry.
You keep saying 25, but...
Sorry.
No. Curtains is for chapter 27.
27, sorry.
I'm doing curtains again.
Okay, so chapter 27 says, you will make an altar of acacia 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar will be 4 square. Its height will be 3 cubits, because Sonia loves all these measurements.
Boring.
And you will make its horns upon its 4 corners. Its horns will be of the same. You will overlay it with bronze. You will make its pots to receive its ashes, its shovels, its basins, its flesh hooks, its fire pans, all its vessels you will make of bronze. And you will make for it a grate of network of bronze, and upon the net you will make 4 bronze rings in the 4 corners. And you will put it under the rim of the altar beneath, so the net will be even to the middle of the altar. And you will make poles for the altar, poles of acacia, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles will be put into the rings, and the poles will be on the 2 sides of the altar to carry it. Hollow with boards will you make it, as it's shown you on the mountain, so they will make it. Is that a little bit better? I think the man got a hold of the pin on this one.
Right, a shovel.
Who's the bronze? Since there's fire.
Ooh, she's got bronze. She's got a picture for you. Oh, in her Bible. Was that like a picture Bible or what?
Yeah, that's cool. Look how tall it is.
Well, that's where they did the sacrifice.
I don't think I've seen a Bible picture.
Is bronze better at conducting heat?
And mine says copper, when yours says bronze.
Yours says copper?
I think John schooled us on this one, and I think he says it's the same.
Bronze and copper?
Yeah,
I think... Is it better with fire, bronze? It doesn't...
Oh, yeah, maybe better to handle fire than the gold.
Because fire than the gold, because I think the gold would melt.
Copper.
Maybe.
Yours says copper.
Mine says copper.
Okay, so what do we know about this altar?
We're going to do sacrifices on it.
That's horns.
Mm-hmm. It has wire. It has all kinds of good stuff.
For what?
And the pole that held... Place it for poles as well.
It has pots, shovels, basins, forks, because you're going to be dealing with fire.
Yep, ash for the ashes and everything.
Utensils.
Yep.
A grating net. Mm-hmm. Is that like this? Like a grill?
Yep. Yeah, to catch the fat and all the...
Yeah, catch the big pieces.
Yeah, to catch the pieces, yep. You got it.
No one had dropped me a picture.
Now, talking about barbecue, now you got it down, or what?
Sounds like a good
sounds
old,
like good. Good old grill.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, this is where they're, yep, you got it.
But it was outside, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. This is outside.
Yeah.
Because of fire, because you had to have the outside.
Correct.
Yeah, open fire outside. Mm-hmm. But then they took, when they had their fellowship party offering, they just took it inside and ate inside? Or
well, okay, so Solomon, when Solomon builds the actual physical temple, uh-huh. He actually builds, next to it, he builds a big old, like,
fellowship
praetorium, yeah. He builds a big old thing next to it, so you can just sitting out there and eat and stuff like that.
But the tabernacle, they didn't have that, so they just plop on the ground around the
courts
and sit there.
Well, no, they came in, they ate somehow there. Somehow they still ate around it and ate in it. Yes. Because that's what this is for.
Right, it's a party offering.
Yeah, because David loved going there, but David didn't have the actual physical stone temple yet. He had the tabernacle. And he called it the house of the Lord, and he loved being there. Better is one day there than anywhere elsewhere, is what David said. He was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Right? But he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies because he was not a priest, right?
So he'd go he couldn't be a priest.
Right.
But he could go in, he just couldn't be a holy.
Yeah.
So that tells him right there that they had that tabernacle in the wilderness up to David and Solomon.
Correct, yes.
So they erected it.
So that's why
it wasn't erected in David's city until they built the.
It was supposed to be up until Solomon
built.
Yeah,
but didn't they have it erected, or the ark was somewhere else, and he didn't bring it till way later.
You got to read around there to get your answers. Read around that time of David to get your answers. What's going on with the tabernacle? Don't cheat.
But I'm in the cheating chair.
Oh, okay. We'll make sure John listens. So Mike has to listen at 55. John has to listen at 115. All right. Verse 9. You guys ready? Chapter 27, verse 9. It says, you will make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There will be hangings for the court of fine woven linen of 100 cubits long for one side. And its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets will be of bronze. The hooks of its pillars and their rods will be of silver. And likewise for the north side, its length, there will be hangings of 100 cubits long, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their silver bands. And for the width of the court on the west side will be the hangings of 50 cubits. Their pillars, 10, their sockets, 10. And the width of the court on the east side eastward will be 50 cubits. The hangings of the one side of the gate will be 15 cubits, and their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And the second panel will be 15, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. There will be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue, purple, and scarlet of the gate of the court, and fine woven linen wrought with needlework. There will be 4 pillars and 4 sockets, and the pillars around the court will be banded with silver. Their hooks will be silver, their sockets bronze. The length of the court will be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 by 50, and the height 5 cubits of fine woven linen and their bronze sockets. The vessels of the tabernacle and all the service of it and the pegs of the court will be of bronze. Okay. Oh, she's got another picture for you guys. Check her out.
Hey, what? Where's that Lego set?
It's on the wall.
We need to see it.
Just kidding. I can do their project later.
I need it right there. So what's going on?
So what was this that he just described?
Say that again. What was what?
What was the seventh thing? What did he just talk about? This is where what did we just read about? What was he describing?
The courtyard.
Oh, the courtyard. Better is one day in your court.
Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Than a thousand elsewhere.
So is the actual temple very similar to a tabernacle? Is it just permanently?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Why did
they change it?
Why did they? Okay, so Bible scholar in the hot chair?
Yeah, hot chair.
Probably because Solomon was like.
No, why are you blaming Solomon?
Because he's the one that built it.
Hold on, no. You got to come and sit in her lap in that chair.
Yeah, come on.
Get some wisdom.
Just some wisdom right here.
I think he means get some more, gain more wisdom.
So. Moses never going to build the tabernacle.
Exactly, so to replica what he saw.
Yes, exactly what he saw. Then, somebody wants to build an actual building for Yahweh. Who is that guy?
Did anybody tell him to?
Nobody told
David
him to.
David wanted, but he
David
couldn't.
Wanted to.
But Solomon did.
But Solomon built it.
Yes.
Okay.
He couldn't because he killed people.
Yes.
Correct.
Fights and the battles.
Too much blood on his hand.
Bloodshed.
Yeah.
Not because that was bad, but he did, but because the space that he was going to create is God's holy space.
That's kind of like that.
And he's defiled with blood, right? So it's not like a sin thing.
Right.
It's a purification thing. Right?
But he did collect stuff for it to make it, right?
Correct. He collected all of it and waited for Solomon to build it.
Yes.
So by the time Solomon became king, it was all the stuff was there. Solomon just had to put it together, right?
Who got the blueprints, David or Solomon? To build that one.
I think they read the Torah.
Back yep. to Moses.
So it's supposed to be David giving it to Solomon. Solomon builds it, right? But then...
In all his wisdom, he
no, he builds it and it's great. It's good. But then Israel's not listening and who comes in? Later on. Solomon's dead. Who comes in and destroys the temple?
King
of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, right? Comes in, destroys the temple. So, who else in your Bible goes and rebuilds the temple? Now, was it Nehemiah and them? Or did God tell them to go rebuild the temple?
Cyrus.
No.
They built it with one sword in their hand.
But hold up. But did anybody? Did God say, "Hey guys, go rebuild the temple"?
It was a political
desire in their hearts.
A pagan person told them to go rebuild it.
So they go rebuild it, and
the others are mad because it's not
as glorious as the one before, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like they had an awful home instead of
that. So they went and built it, and everyone was confused because then when it was done, half of them people cheered and half the people cried. Yeah. Half of them said, "Woo, we got one!" And the other guys are like, "No, this is nothing like it's supposed to be."
It was the older people that knew the first time.
Correct. They cried because this is nothing like it's supposed to be.
But didn't Cyrus tell them they could go back? But he didn't say nothing about rebuilding the temple, but he supported it. Did they not pay for it and everything? They helped him.
But what good did any of that do for anybody at any time?
Not really anything. They didn't really.
That did nothing good.
And only a little bit of people went back. Most of them stayed in Babylon.
But the Lord told them he stopped the rain from coming, and he stopped the fruit from bearing. So they would build his temple.
Yeah, he stopped all that because they weren't being obedient or something before they rebuilt the temple.
So when they built it, when Nehemiah and them build it, no one tells them to build it. They build it, but then they all go home. No one stays there other than some people.
Because the oppression.
So they leave it, and then when they come back to visit it, it's not being operated. Yeah, it's not being operated the way it's supposed to be.
Just a local yokel.
Yeah. So then that gets destroyed, right? And then there's a guy coming right before Yeshua named Herod, who remodels the temple.
You got pagans remodeling.
Yeah, Herod remodeled the temple. So the temple that Yeshua steps into is the remodeled version of Herod. But even though...
Why would a pagan...
Because he wants to appease the Jews. Because Herod, remember, he's not in complete control. He has to answer to Caesar. So Caesar doesn't want any problems around the world. Caesar wants everyone to respect him. So the job of the Herods was... Be a nice politician. Get all the community to love you.
He's like a governor.
Yeah, he's representative. And his job is don't cause any revolts against Caesar. So he's trying to appease everybody. So his way to appease the Jews is let's just remodel their temple for them. And they'll be happy with me.
You're telling me not even Solomon's temple or the temple that Nehemiah rebuilt was supposed to be built. Because God didn't tell anybody to do that.
Correct.
So they were supposed to be just having that temporary tabernacle the whole time? Nobody... God never
all God wanted was that tabernacle. That was it. That was.
But then man's like, oh, well, let's build a brick and mortar. Like,
yes.
Because yes. We're living in that kind of deal. That's probably how they felt, huh? So he's just in a tent.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But the only thing is, if you have the permanent one, you can go with them.
No,
I don't know. Like, I guess because they're not traveling anymore.
They weren't traveling anymore. It was in Israel. Let's set it up here.
And that was a chosen place, right? It has to
but
be
that was never place. Intended. God never
said, hey, build me a
Nobody
stone place.
God.
He said, yeah. The only thing about stones he ever said is when you make me an altar, don't make that altar the ramp. Make that out of stone, but that's it. But the actual building
really was supposed to be a temple.
It was on David's heart to do it, so it was a good thing, and God let that happen.
Yeah.
But everything after that.
You think that's why they were all destroyed? Because it wasn't. Really
well, they were all destroyed because people weren't because we worship the building more than we worship the God who was supposed to be in the building. Right. Think about it today, okay? So the presence that was supposed to be in that building is now supposed to be in you and me. Uh-huh. Okay? That's what our scripture tells us. That's what our God tells us. The whole purpose now is His Spirit supposed to live in us. Mm-hmm. How good do people treat the body that the Spirit's supposed to live in?
Well,
most of the believers can care less about how they treat their own bodies that the Holy Spirit's supposed to be living in. So the body starts to decay, just like that temple decayed, because they cared less about the presence that was in there.
Well, the body's going to decay anyway, because...
What I mean by decay is some people are suffering in their body now because they're not taking care of it. Yes, they're not taking care of it.
Of old age or something, just yes. Having a natural decaying of the body.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
So,
we have early deaths, a lot of early deaths.
Well, if it's because you have like an appendix bursting and kidney stones, all that, then yes, you're not taking care of yourself for sure. I'm not saying that that's happening to people with like random accidents or something like that. That's something beyond. Yeah. But anyway, that's the courtyard. It was number 7. Better is one day in this court. That's your tabernacle. How many pieces make up of God's tabernacle?
7.
Go figure.
Not surprised.
You're not surprised. That his tabernacle is built out of 7 pieces. It's a 7-fold tabernacle. How many days was the garden made? How many days of creation were there?
6.
7.
7. Made in 6, rested on 7, but it was all done on the 7th, right? So here, guess what's on the 7th?
Completion of the tabernacle.
The tabernacle, just like he's saying, hey, this is the garden. The tabernacle is the garden.
They didn't do the wash basin. Where is it?
Oh, because then it wouldn't be 7. So the author wants to hit you with 7, and then he's going to hit you with the garments next.
Like the little details.
Can you imagine how? So the garments that the priests have to wear, how many pieces do you think they're suits?
7.
Oh, good. Let's see. We will find out, Lord willing, next weekend. Does the priest's garments, is it a 7-piece suit? We know of 3-piece suits, right? Yeah. Have you ever heard of a 7-piece suit? Right here you have a 7-fold tabernacle. Right? So we'll find out. And let's see what God's trying to tell us. Go ahead. No. Are you already counting? No, John. John Jr., he's not here right now. You guys are like just manifesting his presence.
Let me count.
You're trying to bet for next week. You go, come back next week, sit there. And you, tell her, Julie.
All right, John.
All right. Do you guys have any other comments or questions on today's story portion? This was the tabernacle, and I try to break it down in those 7 so you can see it in its pieces.
It's
Because if you just read it as one, it can get kind of like boring and put Sonia to sleep or confusing. She was napping right there a second ago. So hopefully breaking it down makes it a little bit more entertaining so you can see it a little bit, right? But notice what's the first piece of this tabernacle is interesting. What is it?
Gold.
No, it's not the gold.
Oh.
It's the ark.
No.
Okay, what is it?
Oh, the offering.
It's the offering. Oh, it's your heart offering. Your willing gift offering is number one.
And that's the thing. Is that like the inside of the tabernacle? Like your heart?
Your heart and his heart are number one. Because the offering, the teruma, it comes from your heart. And the Ark of the Covenant is his heart. Because what's in the covenant? What's in the Ark?
Him. The Lord.
His presence.
That's where he's going to be, but what's inside that ark?
His laws.
The Torah. The only pieces of scripture in God's presence are those commandments. The Torah. They're in there with the yeah. So his heart right there, this is his lockbox. Right there and right here are number one and number two. His heart and your heart. That's the most important thing. Everything else is secondary to those first two. The other things are important, but that's number one and number two. Without number one and number two, this is irrelevant.
Can you parallel that with the 7 days of creation?
I could, but maybe not right now.
But we still have a wash basin. That's missing a wash basin.
Because then we can't do that, because then we have to mess up the numbering, is what the author, because he's going to tell you about it later on, and he's going to have it in another number sequence, but he's not going to put it in this number sequence.
So he's like setting up the structure right now.
Yes.
We're about to do the interior
design.
Yes.
Decoration.
Yes. Because these guys were really well thought out and spirit moved in how to write this to point you back to the beginning, to the seventh day beginning, right? So, the things that really matter, number one and number two, is our hearts. Because our gifts and the showbread, the menorah, and all of this service is going to be meaningless.
Hey.
Baruch. Yes, sir. So all of this is going to be meaningless. This is all meaningless if your heart's not in it.
Yeah.
What good is your marriage if your heart's not in it or their heart's not in it? Right? What good is anything you do if your heart's not in it? This is what God said. All of this is irrelevant if your heart's not there, number one. Sacrifices and offerings he does not desire. What he desires is number one, your heart. Does that make sense? So when Isaiah says sacrifices and offerings he does not desire, he's not saying, oh, the whole system's gone. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is the system is meaningless unless your heart is behind it. Your relationship with your friends is meaningless unless your heart's behind it, right?
Yes.
So, cool. Anything else you guys want to share, add? Any other thoughts? Any other rabbits you want to chase? You're good? Why are you laughing, Julie? Because it's you. Actually, it was Viola today.
My husband, last time he came to show, it's like, you're the one that gets him off. Like, what are you I'm asking questions. It's you.
Julie's a rabbit.
Well, actually, this time it was Viola. Yeah, it was her phone. You had your announcement on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say thanks to Jeff? Mark, it was irritated. Julie?
Oh, no, I would never say that.
On recording.
No, I don't think I said that.
Uh-oh, what did he say?
Look at this. Look at that.
You said he harassed her about the studies so she would call you.
I'm trying to think what I said, no, Linda, if I said something.
I'm sure you did.
No, I didn't say anything like that, so I'm trying to recall.
Yes,
No, I think what you're saying, I think what you heard is, I like to say things to make her go home and ask him questions at night. Because then he gets mad at me and says, stop telling her this because she keeps me up all night.
Asking questions.
I think it's something around those lines.
You have right, sir, to make her go home. And
yes, because it's funny. Because he sends me text message in the morning. He'll send me text message in the morning telling me he got no sleep because his wife kept him up with some crazy conversations.
Why did you do that?
I don't do that. She does that. I don't. I just answer questions here. I can't control anybody when they go home and do stuff. But I still get in trouble for it. So.
You harass her?
I don't harass her. No, I don't. She asks questions and I just answer them to the best of my ability. All right.
Mike gets no sleep.
That sounds like a personal problem to me, right? You chose her, Mike.
What a good question.
All right, y'all ready to pray?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for our study today. Father, we just pray that you would help us, Father, to have hearts that are on fire for you. That our hearts would be after you the way David's heart was after you, Father. We just pray that you would come and fan the flame inside of us. That everything we do would not just be a religious thing, Father, but it would be because we're in love with you, that we're lovesick with you, we're zealous for you and passionate for you, Father. So we just pray for love and passion and zeal, Father, to walk this life out, to live this life for you, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.